Now it's time for real fashion on Pop Off with Mary Jane Pop.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Pop Off. I'm Mary Jane Pop, and you better believe we're going to turn things upside down, because that's what the world needs a little bit of right now. You know, they get into their little ruts, and they won't open their minds. You know, we get these little closed minds that says we can't open up and think of new ideas or new concepts or new ways of life or new ways to do things. Hey, what is life about if you cannot explore all the possibilities? And that's what we try and do on Pop Off. As for today, have we got a variety, but it is all poignant in that people can change their lives, and all for the better. At the very end of the show, this gal was incredible. This was the gal who hit the news, this was last year sometime, I can't remember which month, but she actually went online. She got into, like, huge, major debt, and went online and begged for money on the internet. Just basically said, give me money, I got to pay off my debts. She actually got money. Well, but it's a rags to riches story. It really is, because she now has a movie coming up, a book coming out. She has made a major change, and I think, now I got to ask her, but it was hinted at that she actually paid back some of that money, or maybe all of that money, that she actually asked and begged for on the internet. It would be nice to see that kind of thing coming, because then you get back to those who helped you and then move on, kind of pay it forward. Remember that movie called Pay It Forward? It's a great movie. In other words, someone does something for you, you don't have to pay them anything for doing something for you, but the next time you have the opportunity to do something for someone, you pay it forward. That's what it's all about. In addition to that, are you a shy person? You know, you don't talk. I don't want to get in front of people. And, oh, my gosh, I have to go into a situation where I'm going to have to deal with people and talk with them and be in a crowd. Are you shy? Well, you're going to be able to say goodbye to shy today after we get done with our other guests. And we're also going to talk a little bit about cholesterol. You know, we talk about heart problems and clogged arteries. And we always say, cholesterol, that's the thing. That's the thing that does it. You got to get your cholesterol down. And, I mean, they are in some drastic numbers with cholesterol. But we'll find out how we can do it with maybe a change of diet, with maybe exercise. But there is a key, and we're going to open up that key for you. Speaking about keys, did you see the latest report about inflation? Inflation is going up, 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 up. Well, I'm going to tell you, we're all facing it day by day. Our paychecks don't match the inflation, that's for darn sure. Now, I've got an idea for you. If you are in a situation where you're saying, you know, gas prices, I can't even afford to go to the grocery store. I have to go to work every day. I have no choice. I've got to drive. And that doesn't make any difference what vehicle you have, whether it's a motorcycle or an SUV or a regular car. Doesn't matter. You're still having to put gas in that tank and keep going. Well, I have something that I said this came across my desk, and I'm going to tell you about it again because I'm using it, and it's working. Now, this is how to save big bucks on your fuel costs. And, boy, I'll tell you, with everything that we've got, if we could save 10%, but they say anywhere from 10 to 20 to 30%, maybe even more. Now, they're called MPG caps. And I said, I'm using it in my tank for a couple of reasons. One is, obviously, I want to save on fuel costs. But they're a new solid fuel treatment. Now, this is not a detergent, because there are some that came out that were detergents that could actually do some damage to your automobile when you put it in the tank as it goes through the engine and all that. This is biodegradable. It's all plant-based. And here are the benefits. It's not only that you can get 10, 20, 30% increase in your gas mileage, but it also restores lost power. It lowers smoke and pollution. And I don't know about your area, but on the West Coast, that's really important for us. It increases power. It quickens cold starts. It reduces exhaust and emissions. And again, we got to go through such heavy tests on emissions on the West Coast. The fuel burns clean with little ash or residue. It's safe for catalytic converters and for fuel filters. It prolongs the life of spark plugs and glow plugs, exhaust system, carburetor, fuel filters, valves, enhances overall engine performance, which means you save some money and bucks in the long run. It stops ping if you have a problem, and that happens a lot in diesel engines, and that's caused from dieseling deposits. You won't have that anymore. Increases power and torque for instant response, near instant starting, lubricate valves, reduces hydrocarbon emissions, revitalizes old and low-octane fuel cells. It does a lot of stuff, let's put it this way. And it is EPA approved. That was important to me, too, to make sure that we've got the right usage on these things. Now, if you want more information and by being able to save 10, 20, 30% and more on your fuel costs, then I'm going to give you a phone number to call and just ask for David and tell him Mary Jane or Popoff, either one that you want, Mary Jane or Popoff, sent you. And he can tell you more about this. It's very inexpensive compared to what your savings will be and what you can do with your engine and prolonging it and saving money in the long run. It's 916-871-4025. Again, 916-871-4025. Ask for David and tell him Mary Jane said I can save on fuel costs, or Popoff says I can save on fuel costs, and you absolutely will. Now, again, we talk about cholesterol, and it's a big bugaboo. You hear it from the American Medical Association. You hear it from a variety of doctors, and they all say, get your cholesterol down, get the bad one down and the good one up, or else you're going to die of a heart attack. Well, how are you going to do it? I know when I first started, I was taking Bran, I was doing exercise, I was changing diet, and it runs in my family. It's a genetic thing. So maybe we can find out some keys on how you can do it, and it's not going to be quite so difficult. That's coming up on Pop Off.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her head. The wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up.
Well, we want you to have some good vibrations, and those good vibrations hopefully will keep you healthy. That's where the main key is, health. Now, did you know that what you eat has very little to do with cholesterol levels? That was a shock to me to begin with. Did you know that you can eat things like eggs, which was, remember, banned? Do not eat the whites, but don't eat the yolks, for heaven's sake, because it's going to kill you. So how do you bring the bad cholesterol down and the good cholesterol up? Well, Dr. Bill Parsons, if you remember, he was on last week and we talked about tough talk about fat. Well, he's done his homework for several decades. This is a medical doctor who is devoted to his research and to his patients. Now there is cholesterol control without diet. Dr. Parsons, nice to have you with us on Pop Off again.
It's always a pleasure, Mary Jane. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I think people are really interested in this because we hear all these terrible things about what cholesterol is going to do to us. It's a killer. It really is, isn't it?
Well, I think in the little bit of time we have available today, we need to concentrate on the surprises in cholesterol control without diet. And the first one, as you said, is what you eat has so little to do with your cholesterol level that we might as well say it has nothing to do with it. That keeps our thinking simple.
Mm-hmm.
And eggs are fine, and lean red meat has always been interchangeable with chicken on the American Heart Association diets, and a great many doctors don't even know that. So what you have to do, the reason your cholesterol is the way it is, too much bad, not enough good, too many triglycerides, whatever, is the body factory that you inherited.
Yep,
and we need to change the body factory. That requires medication. So then the question comes up, what medication am I going to take? Am I going to take inexpensive niacin with medical supervision, pay about $10 to $15 a month, and it does everything right. Lowers the bad, raises the good, lowers triglycerides.
Before you do that, Dr. Parsons, we need to find out what is a good level for cholesterol. Now, we used to hear that it was 100 plus your age and you were going to be okay. Now they're saying you should be less than 100. How the heck can we get down that low?
Well, that's not hard. 100 plus your age was really a blood pressure rule in the old days, but then that got changed. What about cholesterol? Well, I might shock people by saying that the total cholesterol is really irrelevant.
Really?
And you'll see why as we talk. It's almost irrelevant. it's kind of an indication of how much bad cholesterol there is. But if you have a lot of good cholesterol, and some people do, it drives the total up, and that's not bad.
So you really do have to look at both the LDL and the HDL, which is the LDL.
Exactly.
Is
LDL
the bad
being
one, right?
The bad and HDL being the good. The way you remember that is H stands for healthy and L stands for lousy.
Got it.
Now, it's not an elegant memory device, but it works.
Okay.
And bad cholesterol, well, the guideline that I like best is in 2001, the powers that be in Bethesda assembled about a 24-person panel and put out the guidelines in 2001. And they said, if you haven't had a heart attack or other event, below 130 is okay. If you have had an event, below 100. Now, here's what happened in 2004, and it's appalling, and it's just not good. They assembled 8 experts in Bethesda, not 24, and an Associated Press story hit the news in June 2004, and they said, or July 2004, they said, guess what, folks? We've gone over 5 new studies, and we have come to the conclusion that in anybody with high risk of heart disease, and that's a lot of people, that's almost everybody, the bad cholesterol should be below 70.
That's incredible.
I do not recommend that. I had hoped that doctors around the country would recognize that this was an optional thing and would reject it. But the problem is, laboratories around the country put this on their sheets as the desirable level.
Mm.
So if a person has a value between 70, let's say no heart attack between 70 and 130, they say, I think maybe we ought to do something about this or I'll be sued. So that's not good. Now,
so they put them in a risk category then?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
When that the Associated Press story came out, 2 days later, the Associated Press came out with another story saying, guess what, folks? All of those 8 people on that panel were paid by the statin manufacturer.
Oh, don't you love it?
What they didn't say was all of the 5 studies that they reviewed to reach their conclusion were sponsored by the statin manufacturers.
Now, tell them what a statin is and what it's supposed to do.
Right. Statins are that widely advertised, expensive group of drugs consisting of things like Lipitor is the biggest seller, Zocor about to lose its patent protection, Pravacol,
yeah.
Crestor is a new one, and Public Citizen says the most dangerous.
Really?
Vytorin is a combination product. It's hard for me to see how the cholesterol absorption part of that makes much difference when really, it, as we said, it doesn't matter how much cholesterol you eat.
But what is the danger then in the statins?
Well, statin drugs have caused hundreds of deaths in the U.S. The number in 2001 was 181 at least. And FDA, this is the startling and appalling part, FDA refuses to count the reported deaths and make this information available to the medical profession, which is largely clueless, and to the public. Here's what happens. A great many people who take statins have muscle pains, and this is called myopathy. That just means something wrong in the muscles. And they vary from mild aching to the extreme, which only occurs in a few people, I'm happy to say, is actually dissolving muscle fibers.
Mm.
And this sometimes occurs when another drug is taken with the statin that is also cleared by the liver with the same enzyme system that clears the statins. If a doctor gives you erythromycin or Biaxin for a sinus infection, it will drive up the level of your statin in the blood sky high. This results in dissolving muscles.
Wow.
When muscles dissolve, they release a material called myoglobin. Now, that's like hemoglobin in red blood cells.
Okay.
And those things are meant to be in cells, not floating free in the plasma. When they are floating in the blood plasma, the kidneys filter them out. And when this happens and there's a lot of myoglobin, it can block kidney tubules and shut down the kidney function.
Oh,
and this has resulted in deaths.
Wow.
We know that the deaths up till 2001 were at least 181.
Huh.
And they just simply haven't been counted since then. I can't get FDA to count them, nor can I even interest Public Citizen, which is the watchdog organization in Washington that counted the deaths in 2001. Can't get them to do it either. They're busy with a lot of other things.
Well, you know what is amazing to me is that if they take these statins, you see they do actually have little tags at the end of the commercials that you see on television, and they do mention if you get muscle pain, et cetera, it could lead to something that is extremely dangerous.
Well,
they
that's
tell
right.
You
they,
what.
They say it could be a rare but serious side effect. Well,
exactly.
I think death is a serious side effect.
Now, you say niacin can do the job for us. Why?
Well, niacin does everything right. All the statins do is lower bad cholesterol. There's one that's now advertising that it raises good cholesterol, and that is not true. It actually, I looked at the website and looked at what they said about how much raises good cholesterol, and it said up to 13%. Well, if you have a good cholesterol of 30 and we're trying to get to a 45 is where I like to see it, 13% is only 4 points, and that's 30 to 34. That doesn't get us up to 45.
Yeah.
Niacin raises good cholesterol tremendously.
What
I've seen people with 80.
It?
I've seen a few with HDL cholesterol over 100 who
okay.
are taking niacin.
Well, what is in niacin that does that?
I don't know specifically what does that, but what niacin does is work in the liver to change the body factory, and it actually suppresses the formation of something called VLDL, which turns into LDL bad cholesterol.
Okay.
And I can't tell you the precise mechanism. It obviously stimulates the formation
sure.
of good cholesterol.
Now, isn't there some danger in taking too much niacin also?
Well, it's a question of yes. The answer to your question is yes, but it refers only to unsupervised use of niacin. My book, Cholesterol Control Without Diet, and the reason it's called that is diet doesn't work, neither does exercise. It explains that niacin in the doses we're using here is not just a dietary supplement, although that's what it says on the bottle when you buy it over the counter. It is really a drug.
Okay,
and it requires knowledgeable medical supervision. Ideally, that means the doctor has read the book.
Okay, but what kind of test do I have to have if I'm taking the doses that you want me to take?
Well, what you do is you need to have your cholesterol checked. The book tells exactly how to start and how to adjust dose. That's why we like the doctor to read the book. We go 1 500 caplet the first week, 2 a day the second week, 3 a day the third week, and then we wait till the end of the month, get a blood test. If everything is right on target, that's your dose, 3 caplets a day.
Do I get a blood test or a liver panel?
Well, you get a blood test for the lipid panel,
mm-hmm.
and then at that point, if you're not on target, then you go to 4 a day
okay.
and check at the end of the next month. Now, what I would do, as you know, I'm retired, but when I was in practice, I would look at that result at the end of the first month. Now, if it was right where we wanted it to be, I'd pick up the phone, call the laboratory, and say, take that frozen serum that you have on Mary Jane Pop, and take it out and determine two simple liver tests. Oh. And they are usually all right. They're usually normal. The trick that a knowledgeable doctor has to realize is that a slight elevation in those tests is a part of niacin treatment in most people and doesn't require any action at all. Now, if they go to 2 to 3 times the normal range, that's a different matter, and then the doctor has to make a decision.
Gotcha. Now, the book itself, Cholesterol Control Without Diet, as you said, anything that you take, especially in massive doses, should be done with a doctor's overseeing. And most doctors, I think, would pretty much, if you have a doctor that says, I don't want to try anything, I would find another doctor. Let me put it that way. Now, how do they get the book, for one thing?
Well, first of all, look at the website, because it'll give you a lot of information about the cholesterol control and also about the other book, Tough Talk About Fat.
Okay, which is...
The website is Cholesterol No Diet. Write it all together, cholesterolnodiet.com.
Okay.
How to get the book, call your corner bookstore. You can order it from the publisher,
okay,
but that involves a shipping and handling charge. Might as well call your corner bookstore and tell them the title of the book or the two books that you want. And they should have them for you in a few days because they are in the hands of the major publishers. Well, I'm going to take that back. If for Tough Talk About Fat, you do need to contact the publisher.
Now, I do want to ask you a quick question. With niacin, if you don't take something that's time-released, you can get some pretty nasty reaction from it.
Well, nasty meaning it's uncomfortable. It's not serious.
That's
right. Old-fashioned plain niacin, as I now call it, should not be used.
Okay.
And it dissolves and absorbs in 5 minutes, and you have a gigantic hot flash.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasts maybe 20 minutes. Now, that, if you, in the old days, when all we had was plain niacin, we knew that that went away in 3 or 4 days. We would tell the patient that, and they would get through that period, and then they're fine. And
what do we have today?
Today we have the extended release, which should take about 7 to 9 hours instead of 5 minutes.
Yay.
And that practically completely eliminates the flush.
Good.
To eliminate it completely, you can take, for the first week or so, a headache-size aspirin when your feet first hit the floor in the morning, then take your morning dose of niacin with breakfast.
Okay. Okay, so again, they've got to go to cholesterolnodiet.com to get all the information they need, right?
Sounds good to me.
Fantastic. Dr. Parsons, keep up the good work. I know you do it because you care.
Thank you, Mary Jane. You're exactly right. We sign our books. Stay well and enjoy every day.
You betcha. You take care now.
Thank you. Pleasure
Bye-bye.
To
and
be with you.
That's Bill Parsons. And again, the name of the book is called Cholesterol Control Without Diet. And if you go to his website, cholesterolnodiet.com, you can get the information about this book, which is about cholesterol. And as I said, you need to have your doctor know what the heck's going on. You don't always do everything on your own and then expect them to kind of read your mind. Make sure that they're in the loop, that they know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And give it a shot. I mean, I've done that with my traditional doctor. It doesn't have to be. I have a holistic physician, but I also have a traditional doc. And I've gone back to her, and I said, I want to try this. And I'm a firm believer if they say, well, I don't want to try anything. You have to do what I say. Find yourself another doctor. The doctor you have should be working with you for your health. And if you want to try something, do it for a certain period of time. If it doesn't work, then, you know, you both move on and try something else. But again, it's cholesterolnodiet.com. That's both for this book and for the Tough Talk About Fat. Keeping on the cutting edge of health on Pop Off, that's what we try to do. And talking about ways to have a better life. And that's coming up on Pop Off, because if you are a shy person, we don't want you to be shy anymore. We want you to be able to survive being shy. And you can get over it. And we're going to tell you just how to do that right here on Pop Off. To face people, you know, do you shy away from getting that great job? I mean, a lot of people have that problem. It's that not simple. It's that tragic in a person's life. We don't want it to be in your life. Okay? Do you shrink in the presence of the opposite sex? When you have to speak up and out, do you get anxiety attacks? It's called shyness, social anxiety disorder, SAD for short. And 10 million Americans, I don't want you to feel alone, suffer from it. But now you can say goodbye to shy. That's the name of the book. And Leo Landas is an internationally recognized speaker, author, and consultant to Fortune 500 companies. And they tell them how to do it because she's going to tell us how to do it. Hi, Leo. How you doing?
Good, Mary Jane. Good to talk to you.
Why is it that some people are shy and some, like me, have a big mouth and never been shy in my life?
You are so fortunate because I was painfully shy as a kid. It's a horrible affliction. Big question you ask, though, about why are people shy. There are actually basically three quick reasons. One is that it's genetic, yes. And one-third of babies are born with the proclivity to become shy. Now, actually, a parent can determine, even while the baby is in the crib, soon after the baby comes back from the hospital, whether or not their baby has that proclivity to be shy.
Oh.
There's one of the leading researchers in shyness, Philip Zimbardo, did a groundbreaking study, and he brought 400 babies into a laboratory,
mm-hmm.
not all at the same time, but over a matter of months. And then what he did was he held a little toy, a scary toy, like maybe a rubber spider or something, over the baby's crib.
Right.
And then the second one was he dipped a Q-tip in alcohol, which is pretty smelly, put it under the baby's nose. Third thing, had a stranger come into the room and just do the little kitschy-kitschy-coo number under the baby's chin. Now, the babies that freaked out and flailed their arms and legs and howled at these new experiences, he followed their lives for the next 20 years. Turns out that those children, more than any of the others, did indeed become shy.
Really?
The baby just kind of pushed it away and in its own little baby way said to itself, oh, that's stinky, let that go. Those kids were not the ones primarily who did become shy.
Well, it amazes me because I always say, and I do it laughingly, but it's, I swear it's true. You know, when I first came out and the doctor slapped me, I never shut up since.
That's cute. I wish I'd been so fortunate, Mary Jane, because I just went through such a horrible time right on up into college.
Really?
Thank heavens I, you know, worked really hard to overcome it using many of the techniques which I call shy busters. And I want to quickly answer the other part of the question. Another reason that children can be shy is because if their parents are shy, they learn shy behavior.
Yeah.
And also they don't have as much contact with other people because perhaps a shy mother is too shy to call another parent to arrange a play date for her little kid.
Uh-huh.
And then the third one is if there's any bad experience that the child has early on. And I know I did. I remember once I was afraid to do something, and the whole neighborhood started singing, Lily is a fraidy cat, Lily is a fraidy cat. And,
yeah.
Oh, that just reverberated through my mind for decades.
Isn't that sad?
So, and my mother was shy. I remember it, at our relatives one time, everybody's singing and dancing. Uncle Charlie's up there with a light, you know, light shade on his head.
Yeah.
And my mother's just sitting there very quietly, and I sat very quietly beside her. So I probably had three strikes against me. I probably was one of those babies that came out genetically shy as well.
And then you're surrounded by all these boisterous people, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's frightening for a shy.
Now, when did you start trying to come out of it, and what steps did you take? I mean, that has to be an incredible story for you.
One of the things that I did, and of course there are little techniques, shy busters, which is how much time we have I can share with you. But one of the things I did was start emulating the activities, or the body language, I should say, of people who are beloved, well-known ministers, politicians, movie stars, And there's something fascinating in psychology. It's called cognitive consistency.
What's
that? And that is the mind and the body strive to be in accord. And if the mind thinks something like, I'm shy, then the body will start to act shy. The body says, yes, mind, you're right, we're shy, and it acts shy. Whereas if the body starts to do something, it convinces the mind. So if you open your body language, don't fold your arms and slouch, look people in the eyes, then your mind will think, hey, wait, look what the body's doing. Look what my body's doing. We must not be shy. And it can help that way. Bottom way to say that is fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
But, of course, that is not the only solution. There are 85 ways to go about this.
You know, it is amazing because look at even like politicians when they do their speeches. And I know I'm sure you've been involved with this since you work with Fortune 500 companies. But the way they put their hands out or the way they cross their arms or the way they close themselves up, all this means how you communicate and what people are getting from what you're saying.
Absolutely. They're protecting themselves because many very extroverted people, very big leaders in companies, corporations, are indeed shy about giving speeches. And like a little boy, a little girl, they'll fold up when they're in front of a crowd. I think generally what a lot of the shy busters are based on is a psychological phenomenon called graduated exposure therapy. Big way of just saying don't force yourself into things, big things right away, because you can't do it. All shy say, well, I'm going to go to the party or whatever, and it's difficult. Break things down and gradually expose yourself. For instance, one of the shy busters is when you're going to think about going to a party, don't say to yourself, yes, I'm going to go. Say, I'm only going to go for 10 minutes, and then no matter how much I'm enjoying it, I am going to leave after 10 minutes. Now, think about it this way. If a dentist said to you, I'm going to drill your teeth now for an hour, you'd be racing down the street. Whereas if the dentist said, look, I'm only going to drill for 30 seconds, it will hurt, but it's only 30 seconds, you'd say, okay, fine. And that's the same thing you can do with things like a party or a scary situation. Bite off a little piece of it and
you
try
know,
that.
I'm glad you said that, because if you take it in little short spurts, it's not near as frightening as I'm going to be there for 2 hours. I have no idea what I'm going to do or say.
Exactly. And eye contact is a big problem for shys. So one of the shy busters is to look into much older people's eyes. If you're 25, start looking into people's eyes, or 55, 65, because they're not, as I say, scary. I use the word scary for people who are, or situations that are intimidating. Then look at teenagers' eyes, younger eyes, and gradually work your way into looking into the eyes and smiling at people who are your own age.
If we have kids who are painfully shy, are there some things that we can start doing with them very early on?
Yes, having them do things for themselves. One of the worst things that a mother can do is overprotect their child from just, you know, safe experiences. For instance, if you and your little girl go into a restaurant and say your little girl is 7 years old and she wants a Coca-Cola, fine. The wait staff brings a root beer. Usually a mother will say, oh, and then say to the wait staff, she wanted to have a Coca-Cola. Just say, oh, that's too bad. Why don't you tell the waitress that that's what you wanted? And have the child be the one to handle their own situations. Fathers are much better at keeping a child from being shy than mothers because, you know, if a little girl falls down and hurts her knee, the mother will say, oh, let me kiss the boo-boo and wrap it up. Whereas the father will say, hey, that kid can't do that. You go out there and tell him.
Yeah, tell him, right?
Dads, congratulations. You're much better at keeping your kids from being shy.
But you're right. Again, it's little doses. I think we have a tendency, and tell me if I'm not right on this, Lyle. It's Lael, right?
Yeah,
I want to make sure I pronounce it right.
Fine,
Lael,
it.
In this country, we have a tendency that we have to do everything like right now and right perfect, and my God, if you make a mistake and a failure, oh my God, it's all over.
Exactly. And shys also think, I call them shys in the book, shys also think that they've done much worse than they have. One of the shy busters is if you go to a party and you get back and you, as soon as you get back, write down things that you remember that happened. Then what happens always with shys is they run a scene over and over in their mind about how bad they were in this relationship or that contact with someone, and it gets worse and worse. So what you do is you go back to what you wrote down, and if it's not there, it didn't happen.
You know, that's a good idea in life, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do that all the time. You've been in a meeting, even if you're not a shy person. If one thing goes wrong in the meeting, that's the one you play over in your mind, and you see the whole thing happening over and over again, when 90% or 95% it was fine.
Absolutely. It's your own imagination torturing yourself. Poor shies, we flagellate ourselves with all kinds of thoughts that we really shouldn't.
Yeah.
One of the most important things that anyone can do, actually this would work, it's very important even for people who are not shy, is self-knowledge. And one of the shy busters that I suggest is to make a list of questions. I have a list of questions in the book. And then, like a radio interviewer, interview yourself for a full 5 minutes on each day on just one of the questions. For example, what is success to me? What is honor to me? Who is the God of my understanding? And once you have done this for a couple of months, you will see that a sense of completeness and self-knowledge floods over you. And not only that, it's good because whenever a subject, say, of maybe one of the answers, one of the questions you've asked yourself, what does art mean to me? What does art mean to the world? So the subject of art comes up at a party. Now you don't have to hem and haw and think, well, what shall I say? Because you've already interviewed yourself on this particular topic, and you know how you feel.
Great ideas. You know, I think we tend to do this. We do beat ourselves up in this country, and we have a tendency to keep doing it over and over and over. We want to be perfect. And you know what? There ain't nothing that's perfect in life.
Exactly.
And we also then can become desensitized for all these things that we thought were just overwhelming to begin with.
Mm-hmm, precisely. Yeah, just gradually working your way into things, little by little. Going to another town, by the way, is an excellent way, too, to start mingling with people because there's no risk. Many shyers wrote to me, and on my website I invited people who are shy to write me their stories, and so many people said that when they went into a shop, they'd feel afraid to not buy something because if a salesperson had spent time with them showing them things, they felt obligated to buy. Well, the idea here is to go to a different town and go shopping in a store where you have no risk, nobody will ever recognize you, nobody knows you there, and then buy something that you know is returnable, and then an hour later come back and return it. So what you've done now is you've had the experience of it. Nobody bit you,
yep.
And it's going to be a lot easier when you have to do these things with people who possibly might recognize you.
And you know what, Leo? I don't think people realize they're not alone, because isn't the fear of public speaking like the number one phobia in the world?
It is. It is. And even after I was cured of my shyness and was confident, I was very afraid of public speaking, and I remember I was giving a course on one of my communications topics, and I thought, okay, fine, there's probably going to be about 4 or 5 people. It was a adult education center. Turned out that 75 people had turned out.
Ouch.
And I was terrified. What I decided to do is have a friend film it, and afterward I thought I was awful. But I had a friend with a little camcorder in the back filming it, and I looked at myself, and it really wasn't that bad at all. In fact, I patted myself on the back, and I thought, holy mackerel, that was pretty good.
You know, we built...
I didn't think it was from the inside, and that's the same thing with shies. From the inside, they see it as a disaster,
uh-huh.
Whereas from the outside, they don't. It's not. In fact, there was a study, and I know we're running out of time here, so I'll be quick, but there were 85 people who lived in a dormitory, and each was asked to fill out a survey, a form, on how many of the other people individually they thought were shy and who were not. They were way off base.
Mm.
People cannot tell if you're shy. And if these people lived together and didn't know whether each other was shy, then how is somebody you meet going to know you're shy?
It's the power of positive thinking, I think.
Mm-hmm. And the power of taking steps, graduated little steps, baby steps, toward a very big thing.
It's sort of like that little train. I think I can. I think I can.
Yes, I do love that. I love that story. It is. True.
Now, you have a website, right?
Yeah, it's lounge.com, but that's too hard to spell, so I have a link to it, just greatcommunicating.com.
Oh, I like that. Greatcommunicating.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they can get your book, Goodbye to Shy, there?
No, but there's a link to Amazon, and it's in all the bookstores now, hopefully.
Terrific. Oh, this is great stuff, and Leo, you're an inspiration to everyone, and that's what we need to do, because we all have to be positive, and there's always something in life that will bring us negatives, and we've got to move the other direction.
That's good thinking, and I adore your show. I want you to know that.
Oh, thank you, Leo. Keep up the good work, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye, love. That's Leo Loundis, and it's spelled L-E-I-L. It's a beautiful spelling. Leo, L-E-I-L, Loundis, L-O-W-N-D-E-S. But it's just easier to remember the name of the book, Goodbye to Shy. and you can do it too. And like I said, everybody has negatives in their life, so we can turn things around. And again, her site is greatcommunicating.com. Now, here's a person who is really terribly, terribly shy. She turned her life around, and if you think you can't, you're wrong. You can. But it has to be the power of positive thinking. And I know I tease about the little train that can, but you know what? It's what we have to do in life every single day. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Each little step brings you closer to what you wanted to do. We're not going to be shy, certainly not on Pop Off. And we're going to talk about a gal who wasn't shy at all. She actually went on the Internet to beg for money in order to change her life, which made a rags-to-riches story that is absolutely incredible. Wait till you hear this one on Pop Off.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar was fine. I feel nice. The sugar was fine.
This is a story about feeling good and making good. Now, she was a shopaholic. I'm serious. I mean, a real shopaholic. And we'll tell you just how much of a shopaholic she was. She solicited online donations on her website called SaveKaren.com to pay down her massive credit card debt. Now, she made national news. And now Karen has gone from $20,000 in debt to $500 million in the bank, a rags-to-riches story in her book called 20 Times a Lady. Oh, and all this, there's also a screenplay coming, too. Karen, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Now, let's start at the beginning. How did you get in such debt to begin with?
I moved to New York from Chicago, and I was new to the city and kind of, you know, enamored by all the shops and the clothes, and I had a job, and, you know, I just started charging things and assumed I could always pay it back, and I got into credit card debt just from shopping mostly.
Wow. And then how did you decide to go on the Internet and start begging for money?
Yeah, it was just the craziest thing because I lost my job, and then it was a friend. It was kind of, he said it as a joke, you know, and he went to a grocery store and saw a sign that somebody had hung up on a bulletin board that said, you know, I need $7,000. If you can help me, let me know. And so as a joke, he kind of came home and said, why don't you just ask people for the money? And I said, okay. And I just decided, I kind of wrote my letter, but instead of posting it at the grocery store, I posted it kind of on the Internet and made a website and figured out how to do it. And it just started working. So I was shocked. I was like, you know, I was as shocked as anybody else would be because I didn't think anybody would even go to my website. But
now, you know, I got to tell you, that's a lot of chutzpah, you know?
A lot of people say that.
I was so scared.
Yeah, I thought it was like as soon as it started getting attention, I was like, I didn't even know if it was legal, and I was just so scared. I was so freaked out, but it was, it worked. So.
And people actually sent you money, didn't they?
They did. They sent me dollars. I sold all my stuff on eBay, too, so they, you know, bid on my items. Sent me, you know, pocket change dollars, you know. Not that they necessarily felt sorry for me. I mean, it was, debt run up from shopping, but it was just like they went to the website. It entertained them for an hour. It was kind of funny. It was like a funny look at the life of a girl in debt, and so they, you know, they're like, you know, well, yeah, I've done it, too, or whatever, and here's a dollar. You made me laugh. So it was kind of more of that kind of a
thing. How much did you raise?
I made $13,000 in cash, and I sold my stuff and made $4,000 selling my stuff, and then I paid $3,000 myself in 20 weeks.
Holy
so $20,000 in 20
weeks.
You paid
weeks.
Off all your debt.
Yep, all gone.
Wow. Amazing.
Now, when did that happen?
That happened in 2002, and then I wrote a book about it in 2003.
Which was the 20 Times a Lady?
No, that was Save Karen. And now the new book is, the cool thing about it is, I guess, that it kind of spawned this whole other career in writing. My website was kind of, you know, funny. I was not a writer, not, you know, I was in television. I was kind of unhappy with my job, and publishers started contacting me, you know, saying, you're a really great writer. Have you ever thought about writing a book?
Huh.
And so that's kind of how the whole Save Karen book came along. And then that was like a memoir of the actual story of what happened. And
right.
then from there, yeah, I just wrote my first fiction book, and I, yeah, optioned the movie rights, and I'm writing the screenplay for New Line, and it's just very exciting.
Now, tell me about 20 Times a Lady, because a lady with a lot of chutzpah in 20 Times a Lady.
Yeah, 20 Times a Lady is about a girl who is obsessed with her number, meaning the number of men that she slept with. This kind of is based a little bit on a true, you know, true story. I read an article in the New York Post, so this part is true of it. But it is a fiction book. But it's that the average person has 10.5 sexual partners in their lifetime.
You're kidding.
And I guess, you see, I mean, living in New York, I'm 30, you know, 33. I'm single. And, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit higher than 10.5. And I started feeling really self-conscious about it. And it's not that I, you know, go out and sleep around, but, you know, you add boyfriends up, and over the years, it just kind of adds up, I guess. So I started feeling a little self-conscious.
This will trollop you.
Exactly. Well, you know, yes.
Kidding,
but, you know,
kidding.
People like, you know, you'll go back to ex-boyfriends to try to keep your number down.
Yeah.
Basically, the character in the book is that she's at 19, so she's just about twice the national average. So she puts a limit on her number being 20. Like, 20 is it. She's got one spot left, and she's going to save it for the man that, you know, she'll eventually marry. And that doesn't happen. She kind of goes out, loses her job, goes out, gets a little looped up, and wakes up next to this guy who's definitely not the one.
Uh-oh.
So rather than upping her number again to, like, 21, she goes back to all 20 guys that she's ever slept with, trying to make it work with, looking for the best one of them to make it work with.
I love it. Now, is the movie, the screenplay, going to be on 20 Times a Lady, or your life is raising money on the Internet?
20 Times a Lady.
Oh, I think that's going to be funny. That's
yeah,
going to be a funny movie.
It's really cute. I mean, it is funny because when you think about it, it's like, you know, not just the going back to the boyfriends that are, you know, that have always meant something to you, but also going back to the, you know, the one-night stands, the ones that you kind of question. You know, and all the guys in the book, they're kind of these really funny, crazy characters, and they're all based on real men that either I've dated or my friends have dated.
Well, let's put it this way. If a movie called You, Me, and Dupree can make it, this will be better.
Yeah, I mean, haven't you always wondered what, you know, that guy has done, you know, that one person that you, you know, always had that crush on or, you know, whatever, in high school and college. And so it's kind of a fun book, you know, just kind of tracing back ex-loves. And I get all these emails now from people, too, that are like, you know, I don't even know what my number is, or I have, you know, started to make my own list, and, you know, all these really fun things.
Well, and just to let people know, you actually took that $13,000 or $13,000 and
yeah.
actually donated back to charity? Is that
true? I did, yeah. All the money that was given to me from the first website, I donated to charity. So, you know, ultimately, if anybody ever gave me a dollar, your money has gone to charity.
You know,
remember
that movie called Pay Forward, Pay It Forward?
Yeah.
This is kind of what you did. I mean,
exactly. I kind
you.
Of like, okay, thanks for bailing me out of debt. I've now paid your money forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got this kind of, it just changed my whole life, this website. It was just like such great, I just love, like, you know, the feedback I got from people. It was just such a great, you know, people just the whole debt thing in general, I think, like knowing that someone else is in debt, that you're not alone. It, you know, my website in a way made a lot of people feel better about their own debt, as well as, you know, all the emails that I got. Just, you know, made me feel better about mine, and in turn, then, you know, I kind of found something that I really like to do, and it's great. It's the whole story is just very.
And I like the idea that you did something positive with something on the Internet. We do enough negative that stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to have this kind of story, you know what I mean?
Yes, definitely. There's so many bad, you know, bad things out there, and, yeah, so it's a nice, yes, exactly, it's a good story.
Now, is 20 Times a Lady, that's available right now?
The book is available right now. Yes, you can just get it on Amazon or at your local bookstore. And
do you have a website?
You can go to my website. You can go to, I still have the Save Karen website up, even though I don't collect money on it, SaveKaryn.com.
You know what you should do? Have people
what?
Tell you their stories, and that should be the next book.
I know. I have a contest, actually, that's going on. I'm giving away one free book a week, like a signed copy, if you can send in your best ex story. It's called the Love, Sex, and My Ex Contest. So that'll go on till October because I'm giving away 20 books for 20 Times a Lady. So one a week.
Well, you know, We need to be able to share stories with one another and be able to use the internet in a positive way so that people don't feel alone. Because sometimes we get to a point, we don't have that community thing anymore. We don't talk over the fence anymore. We don't talk to one another anymore and socialize. It's almost like everything's done on the internet. So maybe we can make it a little bit more social so people feel they're not alone.
I agree with you 100%. I think that is like what we all want to do in life is connect with someone. And it's like, that's what you want. I mean, it's ultimately like the goal of anybody, you know, to meet either that person. It's not that you just don't want to be alone, but you love like the connecting with people is such an amazing thing.
Yeah.
So the internet is great to, you know, that it can offer that, you know, that we can get that there.
We need to share more. There's just not enough of it in the world today. Obviously, the world's blowing up around our ears.
I know. Oh, it is.
And it's nice to know that someone is trying to do something positive and be out there. By the way, the screenplay, do you know when that's going to be coming out? Is it in the works now?
I'm actually writing it right now, and it should be done in a couple months, at least the first draft. So, I mean, I would look for it possibly next year.
Next year, okay.
Depends how fast they kind of get things going.
Do you promise to let us know what's happening so we can have you back and talk about it?
I absolutely will. Absolutely.
And by any chance, is Karen going to have a part in that movie?
I absolutely must have the part of, like, a waitress or something. You know, I want one of those really small parts that, you know, I serve her breakfast or something.
A cameo role, you know, that has, it's sort of like remember Hitchcock?
Yes.
He always used to have a cameo role in all his movies.
Exactly. That's kind of what I want, something like that, a little walk-on part.
There you go. And what's your next book?
I'm actually working on a book right now. It's for a young adult book for teenagers, like a teen book, you know.
Mm.
It's about a girl that joins a beauty pageant. So that won't be out until 2006? Probably 2007 sometime.
That's okay. You got your plans down the line. How does
exactly.
It feel to be in the money?
It feels really great. You know, and I'm still living in Brooklyn. It's kind of weird because I'm so used to budgeting and, you know, I just got my hair colored for like the first time in 2 years and cut professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like actually probably a year and a half. But I was like, you know, because I still do it myself because I'm like, those were all my little Save Karen ways to save money that I would cut and color my own hair. So it's just kind of weird because I'm kind of afraid of falling back into that old pattern. So I'm being very cautious and staying in Brooklyn, staying in my, you know, very small apartment and not making any major moves.
Well, you know,
it away.
You can treat yourself. It's okay to treat yourself, but you're right. I mean, you feel you're going to slide right back into what you were doing before.
Exactly. It's like the little things that, I mean, I find that, like, I still love, like, I've always loved to go to Starbucks every day, and I love that, like, now, okay, I can go to Starbucks every day, and I don't feel guilty about it.
There you
it's like
go.
Just those little luxuries that just make, you know, a world of difference, so.
Well, keep up the good work, but you got to come back and tell us what's going on, okay?
I will, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Karen, and good luck.
Thanks. Thank
Bye-bye
you.
Now.
You too.
And that's, again, Karen. Save Karen. Don't you love that? SaveKaren.com. And her name, by the way, is Karen Bosnack. B-O-S. B as in Bill. O-S-N-A-K. Karen Bosnack. And she was just, you know, a kick. She took a chance. I mean, she's very creative. And I think creativity is part of life, too. But you have to give yourself permission to be creative. Because too many times we have set rules. Set ideas. This is the way it's done, and no one should shake up the world. Well, you know what? It took someone to find out what that the formula has to do and how it works. But someone took a chance and said, you know what? I don't want to do it the old way. I want to do it the new way because I know something good will come out of it. So use your creativity. God gave you creativity. The Spirit gave you creativity. The universe is giving us all creativity. Utilize that creativity to the best possible that you can and make sure that you do it for a positive thing. You know, we always look at saying, oh, we want to set this up, I want to make money, I want to be successful, I want to have a car, I want to have a house. You know, when it all comes down to it, a lot of it's going to come right back to family. A lot of it's going to come back to who you are and what you are and what you have contributed to the world. And if you haven't contributed something positive to the world, then you better take stock because you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to be seeing negatives in your world, which is not a good thing. It's not a good thing for anyone. So, again, positive things, forward moving, pay it forward if you can, and think of things that will make things better for you and for the universe. And we try to do that on Pop Off every day right here on BBSRadio.com at high noon, from noon till 1 o'clock. And I'll be back with you tomorrow, I promise. I absolutely promise. And I've got some great guests for you tomorrow, too. In the meantime, as always, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, dare to dream. If you didn't get ideas about dreaming from our guests today, then I don't know what else to do with you. And I do know we're going to do these things together. Dream on. It's Pop Off. We always do. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.